Well, good morning, everyone. We have been having some lessons about the names of God, and we're going to be studying a name of God that is a combination of two names this morning, and that is the name Jehovah Jireh. And it means the Lord will provide, and the lesson is found in Genesis chapter 22. Whenever names were used in the Bible, they were very significant. They were important. We still recognize today that names are important because think about how much we put into naming our children and how important it is that when someone remembers your name, that's something we appreciate. We don't like it when people get our name wrong. But in the Bible, names had a greater significance, if anything, than they do today. And often the name was associated with something that actually represented a characteristic of that person. And that is true of God. The names of God that are revealed in the Bible each have a very specific meaning. And the meaning that they have helps us to know Him better. They help us to know His character. And that is important because the purpose of studying about God and studying about the names of God is that we might know Him better, that we might learn more about Him. And we are always, I think, reminded of the greatness of God as we look at the world that we live in. Look out this morning and we see the sunshine coming in. And we notice that the sunshine is shining on everyone's house this morning. Jesus said, "Your Father in heaven sends the sun on the good and the evil, the just and the unjust." God doesn't look out and say, "Well, I'm going to send sunshine, but I'm only going to send it on those who went to church last Sunday. All the rest of them aren't going to receive any sunshine today." God isn't that way. He continues to bless and send His blessings, physical blessings, on all men. And when His Son came into this world and He died for all people. God loves all people and has provided a certain sacrifice for them. It gives us the opportunity to accept that sacrifice. But we're told in the Bible that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. So we are able to learn more about God by His name, so that whenever situations and difficulties come up in our life, we might remember God is there. He is available. He's powerful. He loves us. He is able to help us in those trials and hardships, circumstances that we face in life every day. And if there aren't any of us that are going through a trial today at this moment, I would say either this: either you just got through one or you're just getting ready to have another one. Because we all are going to go through trials in life. And many of us probably are going through one right now. So this lesson today is designed to help us, to encourage us in those ways. Because as we learn about God, we find that some of His names are single names. The name Elohim, for example, is associated. It means that He is a powerful creator. And the name Yahweh, or some translate Jehovah, that name means that He is an unchanging personal God. And the name Adonai really means that He is the owner and ruler, master of our lives, but that He owns everything. And by learning about those names, we appreciate and understand more about His nature through those. But sometimes God uses names that are a combination of two names. And we saw last week that El Shaddai is a combination of two words in Hebrew, El meaning God and Shaddai meaning Almighty. So combining those, we have Almighty God. And it was in that name that He appeared with Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old and renewed his promises that Abraham and Sarah were going to have a son. So this morning we are going to see another of those names that is a combination of two names or two words in Hebrew. And the word Jehovah or Yahweh plus the word Jireh. And that word means to provide. So when we put those two together, the Lord will provide is the meaning of that name. So in Genesis chapter 22, we find that God gave a trial to Abraham. He tested him in his faith. And it was a severe test. He came to Abraham here at this time in his life and he said, now came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And then he said, now take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. We see here that God gave Abraham what must have been one of the most severe tests of his faith that would be possible. He asked him to give God the one thing in his life that Abraham loved more than anything else, his son, Isaac. His son that was the dream of Abraham's life, the son that was the child of promise, that God, after many years, had fulfilled and given Abraham and Sarah this son. Not only did Abraham love Isaac, but he was the fulfillment of the promises to God that God made that Abraham would become a great nation and bless all nations through his seed. So if Isaac would die, or if he died not having any children to carry on the line of Abraham's descendants, then God's promises could not be fulfilled. So this very command that God gave to him was very much puzzling to him. It was seemingly a contradiction to what God had promised. And God made it very clear here and very specific that He was definitely talking about that son, Isaac, not Ishmael, but Isaac. He said three times here, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. This was such a contradiction, and it was such a command that Abraham must have wondered, why is God saying this? How can this be in view of His promises? We find here that Abraham here was emotionally attached to his son, and yet God was asking him to give that son back to God and offer him as a burnt offering. And even in those days, it was not acceptable for a parent to kill his own child. And this would have been something that would have made Abraham not received in society. It was the son that his wife loved. And how would he be able to ever make his marriage happy if he was to fulfill that command of God. So it was such a difficult thing for him. And Abraham was involved here in a trial, and God allows trials. And we are told that God allows us to face trials. And God does that because to see what our character really is, how we will do in that trial. God allows us to sometimes be placed in situations where our faith is put to the test, so that God can see how do we really love God? How much do we love Him? How much do we trust Him? And through that trial, God is able to see, and it will help us to grow. And in James chapter 1, James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." God does have a purpose in these trials in our lives. Nothing comes our way from God without God has approved and allowed that to happen in our life. And He has a purpose for it. So this was a trial in Abraham's life, but it made no sense. You know, in the NFL, they have this ruling where the coach can throw the red flag. And sometimes if the play doesn't seem to the ruling that was made by the officials, if he has reason to believe that it was not the right call, then the coach can throw that flag and it is official review. Well, Abraham must have felt that way on this occasion, that God, I'm throwing the red flag on this one. That what are you saying? That I want to review that again. But really what God was wanting to see from Abraham was whether Abraham would choose the blessing, the ultimate blessing that God had blessed him with, or the one who gave the blessing, God Himself. Which one would Abraham ultimately choose? God had given him this son. God had blessed him and fulfilled that promise. But now God is saying, give it back to me. Give that son back to me. Which one comes first? In other words, your son or me? And we can understand that as parents, I think, because every year, Christmas time, we give our children gifts. And we give our children gifts because we love them. But I don't think any of us would be pleased that to know that our children were nice to us just so that they could get that present. We would want them to love us above those things that we give them. And the same is true with God. So Abraham was being tested by God. Is this son that I've given you now more important than I myself in your life? And we see that Abraham made an amazing choice. His faith, his choice was clear. Because in verses 3 and 4, it says that Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham chose to obey God in this trial. Every verb that is found there makes that clear, that his choice was to do exactly what God commanded him. He rose, he saddled, he took, he split the wood, he arose and went. And there is nothing there of Abraham saying he was going to bargain with God, he was going to argue with God, he was going to demand an explanation. No, Abraham just arose and went. Where did he find the faith to do this? But we're told that as they were journeying towards the mountain here in verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Now, that indicated that Abraham was saying that Isaac is going to return with me. We're shown in the book of Hebrews that his faith caused him to be able to draw the belief in his mind that God would raise him from the dead. God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. And that if he carried through with this command of God, God had made those promises and God would raise Isaac from the dead. So he said, "We will come back. We will go yonder in worship and we will return to you." He said, by faith Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now, no one had ever been raised from the dead. Abraham did not have any, there was no history of this happening at this time. And yet Abraham, because of his confidence in God, drew that inference and was proceeding on to obey God unreservedly here to the full. Now, as they were journeying up the mountain, Isaac and Abraham had a very poignant conversation here that is recorded. And it said, "But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' And then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.'" So the two of them went on together. Imagine being a father and your son asking you that question. How emotional. How could you fight back the tears in a situation like that if you were Abraham? And yet Abraham gave him that answer that God would provide the lamb for the burnt offering. As they continued on, we come to this point in the study, in the lesson, in verse 9, it said, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." Abraham was willing to go through with this. Abraham did everything to prepare Isaac, to put him on the altar. And it says here that Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But then in verse 11, "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.'" And so he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And that must have been the most wonderful words that Abraham ever heard in his life when he heard the angel of the Lord speak those words. "Abraham, don't lay your hand. Do not harm your son. Now I know that you fear me. You have not withheld your only son from me. I know that you fear me because of that. That seems to be another contradiction in this passage, because we are told throughout the Bible time and time again that God is omniscient, that God knows everything. And as the all-knowing God, why didn't he already know that Abraham feared God? Why did it take this test for him to know that about Abraham? We are told in Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. So God knows everything in the way of facts about your life, both past, present, and future. And yet here was something that God didn't know about Abraham. And that was, God had not experienced or seen Abraham demonstrate this fact that he put God above everything else. That was something that God had never experienced. And there is knowledge that comes from knowing the facts, and there's knowledge that comes by experiencing them. And they're different. For example, what if you were to ask God and say, God, what does it feel like to sin? What does it feel like to commit a sin? God cannot answer that question because he's never done it. And here was a experience that God entered into, that when he could see this response from Abraham, he says, now I know that you fear me. So God provided a lamb here for Abraham. In verse 13, Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. That is Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. God had provided this lamb. Abraham had not seen it. It was there all along, caught in that thicket. God provided that in advance, but Abraham did not see it until he lifted his eyes and looked up. And then there was the ram. And so he offered that instead, as the angel told him, not to harm his son. Now the word to provide in Hebrews and the word Jireh, it actually means to see. It comes from a word meaning to see, but it means to see before. And that is really what the word provision means, because the word vision, we can see that that is a word that is speaking about your what you see is your vision. And pro means before. So to provide, it means to see before and make provision. God, that's what God does for us. He sees before and he provides for us what we need. What is it that God must see in our lives in order for him to provide for us? He needs to see the same things that he saw in Abraham, I believe. He saw that Abraham, when God commanded him, rose and went. He obeyed. He saddled his donkey. He split the wood. He arose and went. He did exactly what God told him to do. That is what God needs to see in your life and mine. to be willing to do what God says without bargaining with God, without questioning God, even though Abraham didn't know how God was going to work it out. That's trusting God. That's fearing God. That's providing. And that's how God provides for us. He sees before our needs. But He wants to see from us that we put God above those blessings. God has so many blessings for us. But He wants to see, who do you put first? Those blessings? Those things you love most? Or me? Who comes first? And are you willing to give them up if I ask you to give them up? So what we find is that God now gave back His son Isaac and even greater blessings once Abraham demonstrated this faith. So then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So He gave him back even greater blessings when Abraham was willing to give back the one thing that he loved most. And in your life, Isaac is the thing that you love the most, whatever that might be. You know, and it might be your job, it might be your home, it might be something else that you cherish, some hobby, some interest, some friendship. It might even be in your own life in some way. But God wants to know, do you put me above those things? And God is willing to pour out His blessings upon us. But He doesn't want us to focus then on those blessings and ignore Him. He wants us to put Him first above those other things. Now, we could make application of this also in this lesson. When God said, "The Lord will provide a lamb," just think about that. The deeper implication of that. The Lord will provide a lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God did make that provision. He provided that lamb from the beginning of time for each one of us. And God has blessings of the physical, but He has blessings of the spiritual. And He foresaw and He provided those from when He created before then. He saw before our needs and He provided for them. What He wants from us is, do we just want those to receive those blessings? Or are we willing to put Him first above all those other blessings? Because that's when we're going to cling on to His Son, who is the ultimate blessing that He has given us. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Abraham gave it that name, the name of the place. He called it the Lord would provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. God provides for you, and He provides for each one of us. Do we put Him above all those other things? That's the question. This morning, if you're here and subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ to come to Him, that ultimate sacrifice that was given for us, God invites us to come to Him, to accept His Son, to believe in Him, to repent of our sins and confess our faith and be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, that we might become the recipient of all those blessings that God has for us, that He has provided in His infinite wisdom for our eternal life, for our eternal salvation. So we're going to stand and sing the invitation, and if you're subject in any way this morning, we hope you'll respond and come forward as we stand together and sing the invitation.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior.